Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, talks between Narada and King Prachinibarhi. Text 54. It's a long prose section, so that's why there's no verse on the board today. Couldn't put all the words on the board. So I'll read it through myself in the Sanskrit. You don't have to repeat it. Sumana sama dharmaranam strinam Sharana ashrame pushpamadhu gandavat chudratamam kamyakarma bipakajam kamasuka lavani jayavyaupasthyari vichinvantam mituni buya tad abhiniveshita manasam sadangri ganasama gitavad alimanoharam vanitadi janalapesh atitaram atipralobita karnam agrevrika yutavat atmana Ayur Haruto Ho Ratran Tan Kala Lava Visheshan Aviganaya Griheshu Viharantam Prishtata Eva Paroksham Anupravrito Lubdaka Kritanto Anta Kritanta Sharena yam iha paravidyati tam imam atmanam aho rajan bina hridayam drashtum arhasiti. So repeat sumana flowers samadharmanam. Exactly like. Strina of women. Sharane in the shelter. Ashrame household life. Pushpa in flowers. Madhu of honey. Ganda the aroma. Vat like. Shudratamam most insignificant. Kamya, desired. Karma, of activities. Vipakajam, obtained as a result. Kamasuka, of sense gratification. Lavam, a fragment. Jaivya, enjoyment of the tongue. Alpastya, sex enjoyment. Adi, beginning with. Vichinvatam, always thinking of. Mituni Buya, engaging in sex life. Tat, in his wife. Abhinaveshita, always absorbed. Manasam, whose mind? Shadangri of bumblebees. Gana of crowds. Sama, gentle. Gita, the chanting. Vat, like. Ati, very. Manohara, attractive. Vanita Adi, beginning with a wife. Jana, of people. Alapeshu, in the talks. Atitaram, excessively. Ati, very much. Pralobita, attracted. Karna, whose ears. Agre, in front. Vrikayuta, a group of tigers. Vat, like. Atmana, of oneself. Ayuhu, span of life. Haratah, taking away. Aharatran, days and nights. Tan, all of them. Kala lava visheshan, the moments of time. Avaganaya, without considering. Griheshu, in household life. Viharatam, enjoying. Prishtataha, from the back. Eva, certainly. Paroksham, without being seen. Anupravritaha, following behind. Lubdakaha, the hunter. Kritaanta, the superintendent of death. Antaha, in the heart. Sharena, by an arrow. Yam, whom? Iha, in this world. Paravidyati, pierces. Tam, that. Imam, this. Atmana, yourself. Aho, Rajan, O king. Binahridayam, whose heart is pierced. Drashtu, to see. Arthasi, you ought. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So please repeat. My dear king, woman who is very attractive in the beginning, but in the end very disturbing, is exactly like the flower, which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires, and he enjoys sex, just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification, from his tongue to his genitals. And in this way, the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death, who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides. Purport. Materialistic life means forgetting one's constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. And this forgetfulness is especially enhanced in the grihastha ashrama. In the grihastha ashrama, a young man accepts a young wife who is very beautiful in the beginning. But in due course of time, after giving birth to many children and becoming older and older, she demands many things from the husband to maintain, She demands many things from the husband to maintain the entire family. At such a time, the wife becomes detestable to the very man who accepted her in her younger days. One becomes attached to the grihastha ashram for two reasons only. The wife cooks palatable dishes for the satisfaction of her husband's tongue, and she gives him sexual pleasure at night. A person attached to the grihastha ashram is always thinking of these two things, palatable food and sex enjoyment. The talks of the wife, which are enjoyed as a family recreation, and the talk of the children, both attract the living entity. He thus forgets that he has to die someday and has to prepare for the next life if he wants to be put into a congenial body. The deer in the flower garden is an allegory used by the great sage Narada to point out to the king that the king himself is similarly entrapped by such surroundings. Actually, everyone is surrounded by such a family life, which misleads one. The living entity thus forgets that he has to return home back to Godhead. He simply becomes entangled in family life. Prahlad Maharaj has therefore hinted, Hitvatma patam griyam andakupam vanam gato yet tarim ashrayeta. Family life is considered a blind well, andakupam, in which a person falls and dies without help. Prahlad Maharaj recommends that while one's senses are there and one is strong enough, he should abandon the grihastha ashram and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, going to the forest of Vrindavan. According to Vedic civilization, one has to give up family life at a certain age, the age of 50, take vanaprastha, and eventually remain alone as a sannyasi. That is the prescribed method of Vedic civilization known as varnashram dharma. When one takes sannyas after enjoying family life, he pleases the Supreme Lord Vishnu. One has to understand one's position in family or worldly life. That is called intelligence. One should not remain always trapped in family life to satisfy his tongue and genitals in association with a wife. In such a way, one simply spoils his life. According to Vedic civilization, it is imperative to give up the family at a certain stage, by force if necessary. Unfortunately, so-called followers of Vedic life do not give up their family even at the end of life unless they are forced by death. There should be a thorough overhauling of the social system, and society should revert to the Vedic principles, that is, the four varnas and the four ashramas. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So if we look at this in context, you know, we see that Narada Muni is explaining the allegory of the city of nine gates to King Prachinibharishi, who's presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam as typical of a materialistic person who's forgotten, you know, the actual goal of life. So Narada Muni presented to him this whole allegory of the city of nine gates, you know, where there's the king Paranjana living in the city of nine gates with his wife, and eventually they have to leave the city, and how ultimately the allegory is about the spirit soul, which has left the spiritual world, you know, to find a home in the material world, and should really remember that the soul, you know, as a spirit soul, he has another home, you know, in the spiritual world. So he's explaining the allegory, and he's adding, you know, some additional warnings and details about becoming completely absorbed in the materialistic concept of life. So one of the big features of becoming completely absorbed in materialistic life is sex life. And of course there are various degrees of absorption in sex life. There's absorption in illicit sex life, you know, going from one partner to another. But also, you know, people in different parts of the world, they have different religious systems that authorize in some way or another that, you know, a man and woman can live together as husband and wife and have children. And that's the normal thing, you know, in most societies. And but for those who are very materialistic and who have forgotten the actual purpose of life, which, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions in various parts of this purport, you know, it's being addressed to those who have completely forgotten the purpose of life. This arrangement of marriage can become, you know, a big distraction from the actual purpose of life. Now we know from other things that Srila Prabhupada has said that it's possible for devotees to be in the Grihastha ashram and be aware, you know, of the purpose of life, and that's progressive. You know, it's not, you know, a bad thing. But nevertheless, these warnings can be taken even by, you know, those who are devotees in the household or ashram who are aware of the purpose of life, because, you know, it's always possible to slip back into forgetfulness. You know, that possibility is there. And in that case, then all the dangers mentioned here and all the things that are said really apply very strongly. But it's not that it necessarily has to be that way. You know, for example, in a couple of weeks, you know, I'm going to Russia, and I'll be there until December. So it's it's a fact that it's very cold in Russia. You know, it's extremely cold. But that doesn't mean that I have to suffer from the cold if I dress properly and, you know, behave properly. You know, there's houses there that have warmth, and you know, you can wear warm clothes and things like that. But still, it's a fact that it's going to be cold there. And I'll just have to remember that. You know, that's so, you know, even, you know, we're reading here these, you know, descriptions of what householder life is like in complete forgetfulness of Krishna, the goal of life. And so that's a feature of reality. There are people who are undergoing that reality. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to undergo, you know, that same reality. But that's also a feature of life, you know, feature of reality, that it's possible to live in the householder ashram, remembering Krishna, remembering the goal of life. But still, these features are there, and we should be aware of them. And just like if I'm going to Russia, it's cold. I have to be aware of that. So, and if I don't dress properly and behave properly, then I'll be subjected to the influence of the cold. There's just no way around it. So, you know, it's the same with, you know, householder life. If it's carried out in forgetfulness of Krishna, in forgetfulness of the goal of life, then all of these effects are going to manifest. There's just no way around it. So, to avoid, you know, the different bad effects, you know, that are mentioned here, you know, Krishna and our, you know, acharyas have given, you know, instructions how to live in the grihastha ashram in such a way that, you know, the bad effects here can be, that are mentioned here, that are described so vividly here, can be avoided. Of course, since he's speaking to a king, you know, he's kind of describing, Narada Muni's describing things from the point of view of a man. He's describing, yes, you marry this woman, she's young and beautiful, and then she becomes older and detestable, like an old flower or something like that. Could just as well be stated the other way. If he was talking to a queen, yes, you marry this husband, fine young man, but, you know, eventually, you know, he's going to become older, you know, with a big pot belly and no hair. You know, it's what usually happens. But so it goes both ways. It's just that Narada Muni is here, you know, speaking to a king. If he's speaking to a queen, you know, he'd describe it in another way. So, of course, we can try to work out and eat healthy, and, but eventually, you know, it's just, you know, just like Russia's cold in the wintertime, it's just a fact of life that eventually, no matter how hard, you know, we try to keep, you know, the body in good shape, it's going to deteriorate. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. But the question is are we going to be so totally absorbed in these things that it affects our consciousness, that, you know, we don't remember the actual purpose of life, that we're spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, that, you know, if we think, you know, we are just these bodies, it's going to be a very frustrating experience. It's going to be a very, very frustrating experience. Unless we understand the actual purpose of life, which is possible. So, yeah, we're getting These reminders, yes, there's Janma Mrit Yujaravyati, Dukadoshana Darshanam, an intelligent person will see, yes, this life is temporary. There's birth, there's death, there's old age, there's disease. See that this world is a place of suffering, really. But it's possible to make the best use of a bad bargain in householder life. And Srila Prabhupada at the end of the purport is mentioning Varnashrama. And really, this is natural, this progression from brahmachari, celibate life, to householder life, to retired life, to sannyas. It's going to happen anyways. By the arrangement of nature, when children are young, up to a certain age, the age of puberty, they're more or less free from sex desire. They're celibate. Naturally, by the arrangement of Krishna, they're celibate up to a certain age. And they can focus on study, going to school, and things like that. And then at a certain age, puberty, the sexual desires arise, and there's attraction between men and women. They get together, and they have families, children, work. But again, by nature's arrangement, that goes on for some time, but by nature's arrangement, at a certain age, a woman can no longer have children. The man has to retire from work. The children, if there are children, they grow up and they go somewhere else. So there's kind of a natural age of retirement, from householder life. It happens for everyone. They retire from work. Then they have to figure out, what to do. I mean, sometimes they buy a motorhome and they go traveling from place to place, golfing, or going to Disney World, there's retired life. And then by nature's arrangement, usually the husband and wife don't leave this world at the same time. One of them leaves, so there's sannyas, ultimate renunciation. So just by nature, everyone has to follow this system. But it's better if it's done consciously, that one can consciously be aware of these things and try to arrange one's life in such a way that one passes through these different stages in the best possible way for remembering the goal of life, for going back home, back to Godhead. And in this age, sannyas is not so much recommended. It's a very difficult age. If one is qualified, one should take that ashram. But in this age, at least if one's a householder, one should think about retiring and devoting oneself fully to preaching. Of course, many householders are already devoted full-time to preaching. But we see this, kind of talking to devotees. We find they're thinking about these things, older householder couples who maybe not directly part of the temple community. They're thinking about these things. So these things are sometimes very difficult to hear if we don't understand the proper context. So I've tried to give a little context to this this verse. And I'll ask now if there's any questions, comments, observations. Maharaj. No, nobody has to say anything. Okay. Okay, anybody want to say anything? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
See you again.